Welcome to Help and Hope, a podcast of CCEF.
Thanks for joining us again this week. My name is Andrew Ray, down in the depths of the CCEF pod room, Podcasting Central.
Yes, one of the things, this is David Pallison. I'm glad to be here, Andrew. One of the ways that we joke about our building, it's a four-story building, and the bottom story is below grade on parts of it. And so within CCF, we incarnate the lower regions of the earth, which is where Andrew inhabits. And then there's the third heavens up on the top floor where the men and women are. Yes, Julie's on the in the lower
I'm
regions
in the dungeon
as well.
IT support's up top. I don't know what that
IT
says.
IT support is up in the upper regions, that third heavens where the air is
Celia
and the light is brighter.
Celia Bernhardt is up there. She obviously has something good going on. And I'm also joined by
Julie Lowe.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. What is one project that you both are working on at CCF that you are excited about?
Well, one of the exciting things we have going on right now are our new interns in the building, and the interns will be working individually with each of us on the faculty, and that's just a really neat privilege to be a part of their lives and help in their counseling.
I'll amen that. In fact, Julie and I are working together with one of the interns because she's going to sit on Julie's counseling. I don't do much counseling anymore, and I'll supervise her. But Julie will be doing that. And my intern and I we've met twice. So met about two and a half hours. We have spent the entire 2.5 hours talking about how do you prepare for a first meeting with someone? And what are you trying to accomplish in a first meeting with another person, first counseling session? And that has been so stimulating. I mean, it's not only that it's supervision for her and just helping her as someone being discipled to grow as a counselor, but that is going to, the kinds of things we're, the questions she's asking, the sorts of things we're exploring, that is going to generate riches for courses, podcasts, and so forth.
DVD video series that we're developing.
Yes, this is one of these, having an eager learner who's asking good questions, who's throwing the fire of a first session. And, you know, I've been counseling for almost 35 years, and there are just things I've learned, many of which are, by this point, intuitive and unconscious. And her questions are so helpful to me, just to be able to articulate. And then she pushes me, you know, articulate, well, why? And what are your options there? And so it's been very sharpening.
This week we're discussing conflict resolution in marriage. We got a question from our Ask the Counselor series, and it goes like this. Quote, my husband and I were having a very heated discussion the other day. He became really upset and stormed out of the room. Along the way, he slammed doors, kicked a bunch of things, and called me a bad name. We attend church regularly, and we pray together every night. That same night, he said sorry, but slept in the guest room for a couple of nights afterward. When he came back to bed last night, he placed his hand on my wrist and asked if I wanted to pray with him. I said yes, but I could only cry. He prayed for us, and I cried myself to sleep. We spoke briefly this morning, and I've asked the Lord to help me forgive him. Even though he's trying, there's still a large part of me that wants to leave him. I feel so abused and violated. I am angry with him. I'm severely disappointed in him. I don't respect him at all. When he talks and touches me as though nothing is wrong, it makes me even more upset. Besides prayer and counseling, where do I go?
Wow. I guess the way she even asked the question gives indication that there's a pattern going on here. So I'm assuming as she's speaking that this isn't a one-time event, that there's a pattern in their relationship. And a couple of things can come to mind. Hopefully I won't get off on rabbit trails, but I don't think we ever want to give the impression that people are called to stay in abusive situations. And that's what's a little unclear here about, you know, how bad do things get between the two of them. However, if you take what she is saying right now, a very ugly, heated fight occurred between the two of them. How do you forgive? How do you reconcile? How do you move on from a really bad moment like that? Then she asks a question, besides prayer and counseling, what do you suggest? And I'm thrown off a little bit by that, actually. Because it's through prayer and counseling that you start to grow in reconciling or forgiving or working through your thoughts. Or, is the question, how do I live with somebody very difficult, someone very unkind? How do I feel about the relationship and the marriage? How do I feel about moving forward with this person? And she's expressing how all that keeps going through in her mind is really this desire to leave or just be free from him. Maybe that would be a great place to focus.
Yeah, let me come at it from a little bit different angle. I don't hear in this what you would call abuse from the standpoint of violence. I hear two people with violent tempers. It was a heated discussion. He actually walked out, and he walked out, he threw a name at her and kicked stuff and slammed the door, which is not, that's not a great positive thing, but it's actually better than moving towards her, kicking her, and, you know, and so forth. And so I would tend to see this, that I'm curious, she feels abused and violated. And one can understand that as a feeling, but my first instinct is not to view it, that that's actually what's happening. It strikes me more that you have two people who all of us can identify with, who are, there's no temptation that's overtaken you, that's not common to all. This is, in one sense, and I'm not demeaning the intensity of the conflict, but it is a typical interpersonal conflict, and two people are having a heated discussion. And it takes two to have a heated discussion. So this is one of the things where, similar to Julie, if we were there in the room, I'd really like to know what she means by counseling, what has been her experience of counseling. Has the counseling really gone after the way the scripture identifies the roots of interpersonal conflict? You know, the way James 4, for example, gets us looking in the mirror at ourselves rather than pointing the finger at the other person as the core reason. So are they getting counsel that does that, or are they getting counsel that's more adrift, just trying to find out how you feel, what you want to do, without any kind of input from God? So that I'd be interested in that. As I think about each of them, God is always working in all parties unseen. And as I think about him, one of the things that I hear that's very encouraging is that though he was the one that stomped out, he is also one that is moving back towards her. He's the one that said he was sorry, and he's the one that moved back to even to reach out and touch her and ask her to pray. That is a huge positive. Now, if I were to then think, where might he grow further? Where might good counseling help him to grow? There is still at least in the way the story is told, a murkiness in the reconciliation. So, for example, there's a big difference between saying, I'm sorry, which basically says, I feel bad for what happened, and saying, I do feel bad for what happened. I am sorry for hurting you. When I raised my voice and called you a name, that's wrong. Please forgive me. I mean, there's a place where he can make, she's struggling to forgive him. And for him to be clear on acknowledging his wrong and seeking forgiveness is actually a real help to her. On her side, the positive I see is that she wants to forgive. She's asked God to help her forgive. And one of the ways I would describe what she's struggling with is something that is so easy. And here's a place for her. So there's a plus in him and a plus in her, even while there's this negative that's very devastating. The plus in her I see, or the place of growth and correction in her I see, is that She is falling into the temptation where being, feeling the grief and heartache of what has happened, that feeling usually does not stay pure for very long. It's a natural pure response initially to hurt, but then you might see it goes sour. It's like milk that's kept in the 100-degree trunk for 3 hours. It goes sour quickly. And I see three different ways where her honest grief is going sour. One is it's turning into anger, hatred, and bitterness. So just hurt is mutating into something that's her contribution to the conflict. Just hurt is also mutating into self-pity. At what point do tears move from being sorrow to feeling sorry for yourself? And the third area is that just hurt is mutating into wanting to walk out, get a divorce, and so forth, rather than learning how to reconcile with each other. And it's that learning curve for both of them. How do they both mutually both seek forgiveness from God, from each other, find forgiveness from God and from each other, and then start to rebuild where they're both now moving towards each other to reconcile when they have conflicts that come up? There's such hope in this, because in the sense that their problems are so typical, this is just arguing 101, and it got pretty out of control. But there's such hope that it can also become sanctification 101, and really learning the humility and the peacemaking that is Christ's intent in our lives.
Yeah, and how do you validate? I mean, here's where I say, don't want to not validate that you're being mistreated, that you have been hurt and sinned against. The question then comes, what is my response when I'm sinned against? What is my response when I'm harmed and violated? How do I respond when this is my spouse and I will still be living with this person, I will still be interacting with this person? What is it that's going on internally that I need to respond to? And David, you said it very well, all those things that start innocently but yet form into self-pity or bitterness or anger or retribution or
divorce.
Dreaming, daydreaming about being out of the situation instead of turning back to say, Lord, how can I hand my sorrows over to you? Trust that you are faithful in this situation, respond in a godly way, and still find some kind of contentment and peace and ability to love this person who I still feel so incredibly wronged against. Mm-hmm. Is it wrong to struggle with being wronged against? And at what point does that turn into self-pity or self-obsession over how I'm being treated? Those are hard questions. Yeah. Those, I don't know these can be handled in just a simple answer, but right. That's where I think counseling is so beneficial, or just someone coming alongside and helping you think through and talk through and prayerfully consider how do I love somebody who just mistreated me grievously, and where do my reactions run amok very quickly.
In a way, my response was more trying to help them to deal better with the cleanup process.
Yeah.
You know, the oil well has blown out in the Caribbean and the marshes are full of muck. And how do you do cleanup?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a way where I would see one of the real prime goals of, you might say that the counseling, wise counseling with them, will go operate at several levels. It will definitely has to deal with the cleanup of the mess. But then I still think, as I look at this, we don't know anything about, my husband and I were having a very heated discussion the other day. He became really upset, etc. I really want to find out, how was the mess created, you know?
So I'm assuming from her question, from this this little scenario, that there is some kind of pattern of relating badly to one another. Maybe that's a wrong perception, but it would seem like there's a history here, which suggests having counseling or intervention from their church, intervention to help them break the cycle or look at whatever patterns of relationship or conflict they have going on to see what do they bring into the conflict, what creates these conflicts, what creates the patterns in their relationship.
I would say amen to that. And one way I think about that, this is one of many things that are possibles, is it's like listening to a broadcast, and if you're watching TV, it's you're getting snow. You're getting all kinds of broken images coming through. And it may be that the issue they were getting heated about was a very reasonable difference of opinion or something that could have been handled constructively, but the attitudes, the resentments, the arguing, the you know, push and pull,
judgment,
the judgments made, the getting heated actually prevented them from solving what may have been a very straightforward difference of opinion that could have been solved. So that's going to be one of the things that, that wise counseling is going to do, is not try to adjudicate every particular question that comes up, but try to shape how people treat each other in their differences.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you, Drew.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about CCEF and its resources, visit us on the web at ccef.org.